Now it's part two of the book club. We've already heard from Sylvia Kent, who's still here. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello.
And our guest today is Katie Pearson, who is Group Managing Editor at Life and Living magazine. She has got a background as a journalist working on the News of the World, Evening Standard, Lady magazine, that's to name a few, as well as an award-winning Mummy Life blog. So, very good afternoon.
Afternoon.
It's lovely to meet you.
Likewise, it's really nice to be in the studio.
Yep. Now, we're going to talk about, first off, journalist. When did you realise that you wanted to be a journalist? Is this something you wanted to do from being at school?
Yeah, it was, I think, when I was at secondary school. I was at St Bernard's in Westcliff, and I was always very good at English, at the writing side of things. And I think for a while I thought I'd be an author. And then I started trying to write fiction and suddenly realised I was much better at non-fiction and chatting to people and doing that side of things. So while I was in sick form, I used to write the sick form's newsletter, and that led me to thinking I enjoyed it. So I'd go to university and I did writing and media at Middlesex, and very quickly there, when I was doing the creative writing modules, the poetry modules, journalism was just, it's what I gravitated towards. It was, it sounds silly, but it was what I was best at. So I very quickly thought, that's what I'm going to want to do. And so I thought it's not going to be enough to just get a degree. I'm going to need to get some actual experience. So I applied to the Evening Echo to come in and do some work experience. And when I was literally in my first term at uni, so I was 18 years old, and that from there it started.
What was the job like back then, and how has technology changed from when you first started?
Well, when I first started, there wasn't really websites, or, you know, newspapers didn't have websites. There wasn't social media. There was a lot of having to go out and talk to people and actually ring people up and do all of those things, which now, you know, people consume media and news and information on these ever evolving platforms of social media, but that didn't really exist then. And the papers were, the Echo at that point was the Evening Echo, so our deadlines were always first thing in the morning. So you'd be in the office for 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. You'd be doing police calls at 7 o'clock to get the paper out for 7:30 in the morning, and then people would get the paper, you know, that afternoon, that evening, for that day's news. Whereas now it's, you know, it's completely different. People want instant news. They want to click on Facebook and see it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you worked at the very famous News of the World.
I did.
Which has been shut for, was it about 8 years or something?
I
now,
think it's longer than that now,
longer?
Actually.
Yeah. I used to love the News of the World. I thought it was just such a great paper for the gossip and everything else. So what was it like working? Because that must have been frantic.
It was... Looking back, it was a completely different world. There's nowhere like it. There really wasn't. Tabloid journalism at that point was just... It was just full on. It was just crazy. You know, the longest shifts, the chase for the biggest stories. It was absolutely crazy. And I started there. I was hired by Andy Coulson when I was literally graduating. It was funny enough, I'd gone for the graduate trainee scheme, but where I'd been working at the Echo for the 3 years while I was at the university, Andy basically said, "Well, you're kind of overqualified for us to train you. I'll give you a job, I'll give you 3 months worth of shifts, we'll pay for your postgrad, see how you go, sink or swim." And I obviously did all right, so I stayed.
So what would happen? Would you sort of say, right, you've got this, there might be a murder case, or there might be some showbiz thing, I want you to go out, get some notes, interview people?
Yeah, for a period of time, it was basically a sackable offence not to go into work with your passport. You always had to have a change of clothes, you know, glamorous clothes, all the rest of it, ready to go, because I could literally be called at any point and told, "Oh, you need to go there. This story is breaking there. This is breaking there. Just go." Mm. And where I was the youngest there, I was the least experienced. I didn't really get for a long time trusted with anything particularly good or interesting. I just spent evenings sat on celebrities' doorsteps, but not their house they actually lived in, like their third or fourth house, on the off chance that they might turn up. And you get news editors forget that you were there, and I'd ring at sort of 11 o'clock and go, "Do I still need to be here?" And they'd go, "Oh, sorry, we thought you'd gone home at 9 and you'd be like, "Oh no."
And how competitive, because I always think being a journalist is quite solitary, because you can't really say too much to the people around you. If you've got a story, and then it must be really exciting to go, this is going to be my story, I'm going to break it, I've done all the work, I don't want somebody else to take the glory. It must be really competitive, and that's on a daily basis, because even if you build a story over a week, the next day the story's out, you're working on something else.
Yeah, it's ever evolving. I mean, one of the things that you would have is, obviously, you'd have your news editors or your editors who, you know, needed to to know what you were working on, needed to support that, would say to you, you need to develop it in this way or do that. But yeah, it would be, you know, between news and features, that always used to be the thing at News of the World. You'd have the features team and the news team, and it was a competition between those two who was going to get the front page, because, you know, news always wanted to get it, features always wanted to get it, and that competition was rife. It was, yeah, you never, whichever department you were on, you never wanted the other one to scoop you.
Do you remember the very first piece you wrote?
I do. It was when I was at the Echo, and on my first day's work experience, I think I got trusted with writing a picture story about a golden retriever who'd won an award. I can't remember what the award was for, but yeah, at the time it seemed like a very big deal. But yeah, I think they just needed someone to write that picture caption. So
I wanted to also bring in Sylvia here, because obviously the world of write journalism was very, very male dominated, and from your time of working in you know, in that industry, and then Katie's, and see what the difference is, because I'm sure even Katie would have experienced quite a lot of sexism. It's probably changed a bit. Still really half of women in lots of areas still have to push ourselves.
I'm sure she is.
So tell us about your experience, because working...
Well, bear in mind, I didn't come into writing until much later, because I worked for Hansard for 26 years, and also for Lord Plum, if you remember. And everyone was very, very polite there. But as a freelance, completely different, you see, from Katie. I just worked all over the place and wherever there was a story. But similarly, yes, a lot of the chaps thought a great deal of themselves, and some of the wonderful women, the editors and other older people, particularly in the society, we had some people, well, I don't know, getting on for 100, and they still belonged, still came to our things. But it goes back to Victorian times, when there were very, very keen and clever women, never got a chance. So they took a nom de plume, a maigre nom de plume, and that's how they got their work published. A lot of them starved, because people didn't think that they could do the job. But this happens in lots of other industries too, doesn't it? But Kate has done so wonderfully well.
I always think there was a bit of a double standard. I think it still exists, but maybe to a lesser extent now. Maybe I'm just a bit older. But I know that when I was definitely starting out, it would be fine for blokes to turn up in, you know, scruffy suits, all the rest of it. But heaven forbid, as a woman, you turned up in anything less than makeup perfect, pretty dress. And there would just be this expectation that you'd always be lovely and pretty, and I think it's much easier for an ugly man to do well than an ugly woman, which is unfair, but
absolutely. I'm glad I'm not in that industry.
Things are changing.
I do think they are ever changing.
Women are taking over the world, as we know.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. So what would be your two top stories that you've ever worked on that you were really proud of?
I think one of them that I was really, really pleased with is in quite recent years, and was on Essex Living magazine. We did basically an Essex Women Means Business feature, in which I got 50 Essex women from all different businesses, all different industries, and we all come together and did one big massive photo shoot, which you can imagine, with the diaries of 50 women, and these are impressive, inspiring women, getting all of their diaries to marry up to be in one place on one day for one shoot. And then I interviewed all of these women, and I think we took out about 25 pages of the magazine.
Wow.
But it was so fascinating just to hear all of these people's, all these different women's stories, and to give them a platform that, you know, people wouldn't necessarily see, sort of the top bods in the NHS, the top inspectors in the police, and it was really, really good. I really enjoyed doing that.
And what's the other one too?
The other one was actually I interviewed Debbie Bright, who is Lydia Bright of Towie fame. And what I didn't realise until I was coming to interview her was that she has actually fostered hundreds of children, and her stories and her opening up and the difference that she's made was phenomenal. And that's the thing, I think, that we're really lucky in our job, is that you get to talk to people and have people's real interesting stories. It's just an excuse to be nosy, to find out more. I love it. So yeah, I think they are probably the two in recent years that I've loved.
Now, you've jumped from being a journalist to being an editor. So How did that happen?
It kind of is a sort of evolution almost. I think I was at News of the World for 5-6 years, and then I went on to Fabulous Magazine, which was their magazine previously. I think it was Sunday Magazine. Yeah. But when that launched and become Fabulous Magazine, I come over at that point. I'd been doing more digital work, more stuff on the website, because at that point it was growing, and because I was young, I must know how technology worked. So it kind of happened. Had no idea how it worked, but I just had to get to grips with it. But then I kind of become the online editor. So that sort of pushed me in that direction. And then I went to the Lady Magazine as their web editor, their fashion editor, and built my skills like that. And I'd obviously been a features editor. So I just kind of got more responsibility, and it kind of grew. And I think I launched Essex Living Magazine seven years ago. And then I launched another magazine. I think it was Hertfordshire Living, and then I launched Surrey Living, and then I launched Sussex Prestige. So I just kept on accumulating more responsibility. I think it's one of those things that you can't learn any other way than on the job. So you kind of, the first time that you're editing, say, a magazine, it's really scary. The first time you're in charge of being a features editor, it's scary, but you just sort of get on with it and hope that the training and the experience you've got helps you. And thus far, touch wood, it's been okay.
Now, Essex Life, how does that work from one month to the next? How do you actually set everything out?
It's quite a mission. It's a big magazine, and it's getting ever bigger. So we have our regular columnists, our regular features. We know the things that our readers love, and it's finding a way of making those new and engaging, and then basically seeing what's going on. You know, what celebrities around that we can chat to, what interesting anniversaries are coming up, and pulling that all together. And it's quite an art form to get a magazine to flow in a way that people want to read it. So it's ever evolving. But when we merged Essex Living with Essex Life at the start of this year, and that gave us an opportunity to really reboot Essex Life and really make it a bit even more special than it was before. So that's been quite good.
And I got a subscription to Essex Life. Somebody gave that to me for a birthday present.
Which is a great idea,
because if you live in Essex and you want to find out what's going on in Essex, and also for advertising and things, it's brilliant, because it covers everything.
It does,
and it's really well put together. Well, obviously, some man outside. You okay?
It's your car or your car outside?
No, I don't. Mine's down there, but it shouldn't be blocking. Sorry. Right. Okay. Well, they left away. there we go. Sorry about that. That was Sylvia running backwards and forwards to the door. Besides all that, you were doing a winning, award-winning vlog as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things as a writer. As I say, I like writing. I've always have done. When I had my son, Sonny, who's now 8, I was on maternity leave, and you're experiencing all these new things, and it's a completely different world being a mum. And the obvious thing for me to do was to write about it, which I did, and I kind of got my blog, which was what Katie did, and just wrote about what was happening, and then that evolved into a column in the Essex newspapers each week. And it was just kind of what was happening in my mummy life world, and it covered things from potty training to IVF to all sorts. And it struck a chord, I think, with a lot of people at that time, because everyone sees, especially in today's world on things like Instagram, it looks so perfect. Like, mummy life is so perfect, the perfect children, the perfect life. And the reality is sometimes so far from that. So having someone that actually goes, oh my goodness, like, this has happened, and like, my toddler's just crazy and this and that, I think people really responded to. So it was a lot of fun while I was doing it, yeah.
What's going to be next for you? You're going to carry on editing, but are you doing any more vlogs, or you got other bits coming
up? Yeah, I mean,
vlogs?
I kind of... obviously, it's quite full on at the moment, managing the magazines and my son. But I'm actually, one of the things I'm hoping to do potentially later this year is I'm pulling together potentially a book on 237 things to do with children across Essex. Because in my job on a day to day, I have so much information, and so, I know so many things, and it would be a great thing to do for that. And I also have another website, Baby Eats Out, which is family friendly places to eat everywhere. So I'm and basically just trying to get all of those things to work together, which is fun.
Yeah, full on job there. So if people want to find out more about the magazine or they want to subscribe, where do they need to go?
Their best bet is literally, I mean, they can subscribe online. If you go to the Great British Life website, they can subscribe there. Or alternatively, you can pick up a copy of Essex Life in all supermarkets, good news agents, basically everywhere. And you can subscribe via the magazine. There'll be a lovely QR code in there or link. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Lovely. Well, it's lovely to see both of you.
Thank you.
And I will see you again next month, Sylvia, with another fantastic guest.
Thank
you for coming in today and chatting.
For having me.
And giving all women out there the inspiration that you can do anything. You can be a mum and you can work and you can push yourself and you can do whatever you like in life.
And don't be put off. Read some of those lovely blogs and websites.
Yep. If you're a mummy as well, go and have a look through because you'll find all those as well. It's really helpful. Lovely to see you both.
Thanks for having us.